Hare Krishna, dear devotees, first of all, I just would like to humbly introduce myself in front of the Vaishnavas. My name is Mohan Das. I came from the land of the Hunas, from Hungary. And I'm both resident of New Vrajadam, Krishna Valley, and in the Budapest Yatra. So I belong to both of these lovely communities. But a little bit I feel myself to be a resident here in your community. I come every year. Devotees are very kindly welcome here year after year. So this is my second home, or maybe third, I'm not sure. But it's a really great honor for me to be here in the Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham. And it's definitely a great honor for me that I was asked to speak today, although I'm very unqualified for that. But because the authorities and the devotees kindly asked me, I just didn't want to be, you know, disobey the orders. So before reciting the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I just would like to humbly, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai. So I just would like to humbly decorate myself with the lotus feet, with the lotus dust from the lotus feet of the devotees here, and asking your blessings for to speak some valuable or relevant things into this elevated topic. You know, I feel myself as a child in front of lots of adults, but you know, sometimes, you know, fathers and mothers are happy to hear the baby talk of the children, so I also try to make you happy in some humble way. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 7th, and we will finish this chapter and we will start the 8th one with one verse. Okay, so the English translation by His Evangelist A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Cutting the hair from his head, depriving him of his wealth and driving him from his residence are the prescribed punishments for the relative of a brahmana. There is no injunction for killing the body. And the 58th. Thereafter, the sons of Pandu and Draupadi, overwhelmed with grief, performed the proper rituals for the dead bodies of their relatives. That's the end of the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Son of Drona Punished. And now we are coming to the 8th chapter, which is prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit saved. Text first. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Sutta Goswami said, thereafter the Pandavas, desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. To date, it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a potful of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. The Pandavas also followed the rules more than 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being the cousin of the Pandavas, was also amongst the family members. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancsakalpadarúbjáscsa pripászindúbjaiva csa patitánam pávanébjó vaisnavébjó namó namaha namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Mitraya Shrimate Shivarama Swamini Tanamine. So I was thinking to speak about two main topics the next minutes. One is to a little bit coming back for these previous chapters, the ending of this the previous chapter, and the topic that I have heard the last 2 days, because I came 2 days ago. So first day when I came, His Holiness Dayananda Maharaj gave a wonderful class, and after that His Grace Jainitai Prabhu. So I just wanted to take a few remnants from day plates and to a little bit speak about the topic that they were speaking. And after that, I try to say also a few words about today's verse and purport that we have read. And speaking a little bit about the importance of following the Vedic culture, which is very nicely described, and a very nice example is given here about that. So as we heard and as we read it here, that Arjuna was in a contradictory situation. You know, Ashwatthama was captured, the world was saved, the day was saved, and Krishna ordered Arjuna on the spot when he captured Ashwatthama to kill him. And as we heard, Arjuna hesitated to do that. He told to Krishna, wait a minute, let's discuss it with Draupadi. And they went back to the, thank you very much. They went back to the camp and they did so. So they asked Draupadi what is her opinion, and she told, no, don't kill him. He's a son of a superior, he's a Brahman, although he wasn't acted like a Brahman, but he is one, and you mustn't kill. And after that, as we heard, Yudhishthir Maharaj also confirmed that, yeah, it's a good idea not to kill him. So Arjuna was in a situation which is God in one side and other superiors and the wife in the other. And it seems to be a contradictory situation. You know, there is, in philosophy, there is thesis and antithesis, and there is a synthesis. So Arjuna had to do a synthesis. He had to put the two things together. And he did so, as we saw, with this ending verse. Both Maharaj and Jainitai Prabhu also quoted this verse, Tarko pratishta shuyato vibinna nasabri shiryasya matamna binnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya mahajanuyena gatasapanta. And this verse I found in the several places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I would like to read the translation of that. Here it goes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simple by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. Sorry, because of my bad, you know, Hunglish. But I think all the devotees know this verse very much. I thought myself that this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's not, it is from the Mahabharata. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes, so in the Chaitanya Charitamrita I found it two places, quoted this verse was quoted in two places in the CC. This occasion that I read, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself quotes this, it was in a situation when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, visited Vrindavan, And he met, he was, he arrived to Mathura first, and he met a local Brahmin there. The Brahmin wasn't named in the scripture. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know that this Brahmana welcomed Madhavendra Puri many years ago in his home, and that Brahman also cooked for Madhavendra Puri, and Madhavendra Puri took that food. He honored that prasadam that was cooked by this Brahmana. But also this Brahmana happened to be from a low-class Brahman family. So he wasn't a very elevated Brahmana. Sorry, I don't remember his caste exactly. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know this, that this Brahmana was welcomed, Madhavendra Puri. Actually, this Brahmana got initiation from Madhavendra Puri, and he got the ecstatic love from Madhavendra Puri. So he was in the state of great ecstatic Krishna Prema. And when Lord Chaitanya recognized that, actually, he asked, "You have something that is very rare. Where is that from? Where did you get this ecstatic love?" And then it was explained to him, "Yeah, Madhavendra Puri came and I cooked and that." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately offered his obeisances to that Brahman and gave all respect as to be given as a superior. And the Brahman was very humble. He also bowed down and told, "What are you doing? You are a sannyasi. You are a great personality. Who am I? I'm a low-class Brahmana." And Lord Chaitanya told, "No, you are in the position of my spiritual master. You are the godbrother of my spiritual master, so I have to respect you in the same way as I respect him. And because you cooked for Madhavendra Puri, please cook for me now as well. And I want to honor your prasad." And the Brahman thought, "No way, it's not allowed, because I am from this low-class Brahman caste, and sannyasis are not supposed to accept food in a home, so in this low-class Brahman's house." And then Sri Chaitanya started to say, "No, because Madhavendra Puri is the greatest personality. He accepted your food, then I have to accept." And the Brahman says, "Okay, but all the other ones, they will criticize you because of breaking this, you know, social rule." And then Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse, "Tarko Pratishta." Then these arguments are always contradictory. This logic is not meant to find the right way how to follow the ultimate religious principles. But the secret of the Shastras, the secret of the proper behavior, is hidden in the hearts of the great devotees of the Lord, such as Madhavendra Puri. And because it's hidden there, he found in his heart, and he followed that, so he accepted that food. Then I have to Mahajano Yenagatasapanta. I have to follow his footsteps, his footsteps and accepting whatever you cook. So that was the argument of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the other occasion, so it's also a contradictory situation, right? A sannyasi can't eat in such and such Brahman's house, but the superior did it. So, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found the way, also as Arjuna found, but not from the Shastras, but in the hidden, you know, court of Mahajan's heart. And the other occasion when this verse is quoted in the CC, it's let me see the exact number. It's also in the module. Oh, I didn't quote. So this is Madhya Lila 17th chapter and 186th verse. And the next occasion, it's quoted in the Madhya Lila 25th chapter, 57th verse. And not Lord Chaitanya quotes it, but Prakashananda Saraswati quotes it. As you know, Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of the 64,000 Mayavadi sannyasis. He was the topmost guru of the sannyasis. And as we know very well from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya very mercifully delivered all of these sannyasis, gave them Krishna Bhakti, and encouraged them to sing the Hare Krishna mantra and be in ecstasy. And after that occasion, when he he did very good Shastric arguments to convince them that Shankaracharya is fault, his arguments are bad, and you know, the whole Mayavad philosophy is just based on misunderstanding and also demoniac. And to be understood, the proper meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, you have to follow the Bhagavatam and you have to follow the bhakti path. And after that, you know, he convinced all of these Mayavadis, defeated all the arguments with his supernatural intelligence. Then all these Mayavadis started to be Vaishnav and accepted the philosophy and sang and danced. And after that, there was another conversation, I think few days later. Then one devotee, I think the original devotee who invited Lord Chaitanya, he met again with this Mayavadi sannyasis. Lord Chaitanya wasn't there then. And they had a lovely discussion how Lord Chaitanya is wonderful, how his philosophy is the most perfect. And this one of the disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati starts to glorify Lord Chaitanya and his philosophy and making very good philosophical points that how much Shankaracharya is... his philosophy is incorrect and how much Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is perfect. And then Prakashananda Saraswati also starts to make more other good arguments, making the point that Lord Chaitanya is perfect and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his philosophy is the topmost. And then he quotes this verse because he says, you know, the Karma Mimamsa philosophy says that. And you know, the Yoga Sutra says that, and the Brahma Shankaracharya says that, and Buddhist says that, and he quotes different philosophers, and he says, but tarko pratishta shuyato vibhinna. All these arguments, this philosophy, just too much. You can't have the perfect conclusion from it, but mahajano yena gatasapanta. Lord Chaitanya, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he says is the perfect understanding of the Shastras, and these truths are hidden in the heart of the great personality. So these are the two occasions that I found about this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I just wanted to say a few words about that, because I found that it's very important for me. I'm sure that you understand that in a perfect way, but for me it was, and it is very important to understand the position of the arguments. So we have so many philosophical understanding, we have this perfect philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the other scriptures, and we have to study these arguments, these philosophical points, but these are not the ultimate source of the truth and of bhakti. Why do I say that? Because as human beings, we are not very much rational creatures. Sorry for saying that. I don't know if you have ever had an experience to argue with some atheists or evolutionist or born-again Christian or different other philosophy, following people who following different other philosophies, and you make the perfect arguments, you defeat all of their arguments, but they still being a newborn Christian or an evolutionist or an atheist. You defeat all of the arguments, but they still stuck to their point. Okay, but. And this is the proof that they are not rational. And the point is that all these philosophies, atheism, there is a great list of them, you know, atheism, evolutionism, even racism, karma mimamsa philosophy, all the philosophies which is not perfect, which is not the Vaishnav Siddhanta, they are all imperfect, but they all have a logic behind it. And if you speak to them, they will say the arguments. And finally, they won't care that you have better arguments or you have the right. As Jainitai Prabhu taught, everyone wants to have the right, but they have the right to think that they are right. And they will. And never mind whatever you argue. Because of why? Because behind all philosophies, there is a desire. Because we are emotional creatures. We have desires, and we use, all of us, we use the philosophies to legitimize our desires. An atheist is not an atheist because he just wants to seek after the truth. They just want to honestly understand what is the source of everything. And after such and such searching and, you know, doing so many scholarly, you know, efforts, they found that everything comes from nothing. No, we understood. Finally, we understood it. No, they want to enjoy in this material world. They want to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't want to follow the rules that was given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, they figure out a philosophy which is legitimized that. Once, Mr. Richard Dawkins, I'm sure that he's very popular in this country. He's very popular in Hungary as well. Everyone is familiar with Richard Dawkins? Okay, I don't want to speak about him too much, but he's a very good example. So Richard Dawkins happened to be the Pope of the Atheists, and he wrote The God Delusion, which is a book about God who doesn't exist, but still he's a very bad person, even he's not existing. So he's a biologist, ethologist, like a so-called scientist, and he's only... reason and his only activity is to, you know, convince everyone that there is no God. And he's quite successful in that. And once he was asked by a reporter, Mr. Dawkins, you know, everyone knows that you're a great atheist and you do everything to prove that there is no God. And just theoretically, just imagine if you happen to leave this body or you know, die, and there would be a God. You meet God himself, just theoretically. And that God would ask you, Richard, I created you. I gave you this brilliant intelligence that you had to make all these arguments against me. I gave you this, I don't know, 10,000, you know, pounds after every, you know, books that you published. I maintained your whole family. I did everything for you. Why? Richard, why did you curse me? Why did you say so bad things to me? Why did you say that I'm not existing? And Richard Dawkins gave a very honest answer that I like very much. He told, I will tell, my dear sir, why did you hide so much? Means, why did you hidden? Why did you hide yourself? Does it make some sense? So he told to God, I told that you are not exist because you were hidden. I didn't see you anywhere. We didn't find you. It's an honest answer, but I think the answer of Krishna would be that I hidden myself because you didn't want to see me. You wanted to enjoy your life, and therefore, you know, I'm very polite. You didn't want to know about me, therefore I was hiding behind the atoms and the molecules and all the things. So I just want to make the point, the atheists, they have desire to live without God, and therefore they create a philosophy without God. But I will be bold enough to say that we are, as devotees, we are the same. Because we have the desire to be in a loving relationship with God, to go back to Him, to live in harmony with Him, to live in our constitutional position as a part and partial and a loving servant of the Supreme. And therefore Krishna gives this perfect philosophy to us to protect that desire and to live according to that desire, and to defeat all the other bad philosophies which are opposite to this. So the atheist philosophy and all the other fault philosophies are come from an imperfect desire to live without God, and therefore they have an imperfect philosophy that is very easy to argue with, you know. I'm teaching in Hungary, small school children in the Budapest Gurukul, in the age of 8, 9, they have the knowledge to defeat Richard Dawkins in 10 minutes, I can tell you. Because it's very bad philosophy, it's completely illogical. So it's very easy to defeat. So imperfect desire creates an imperfect philosophy. As devotees, we have the perfect desire of the soul to serve God, and we have the perfect philosophy, which is unquestionable and undefeatable, given by Vyasadeva and all the other acharyas, and given by, finally, by Krishna. But also there is a desire behind it. Just the logic, you know, logically, what Vyasadeva does as a perfect philosopher is that he uses all his perfect arguments in his books, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Srimad Bhagavatam, to defeat all the other philosophies. And when all the bad philosophies are defeated in the pages of the scripture, then he says, okay, no one else. So then I say, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. If anyone doesn't agree with that, come and explain the whole world, explain the whole existence in a perfect way. And if you prove your philosophy and I can't defeat it, I will accept it. But what Vyasa does, he defeats every bad philosophy, and then he says, okay, this, so you must accept that. Yes. So the arguments are not meant to prove anything. Arguments are meant for defeat the bad philosophies. Shishiradha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shingonitai ki jai. So we use this philosophy, but just to defeat the bad ones. But the ultimate thing is that we can't prove logically that God is a bluish colored cowherd boy with a flute. There is no logical arguments for that. The logical arguments are for defeating the bad philosophies, and then we accept whatever God is saying. That's the way of the Vedic epistemology. And therefore, coming back to the point of Arjuna's problem, then by logic he wouldn't be understand what right to do and what not right to do. But the way he understood was his devotion to Krishna. He had the perfect desire to serve Krishna and to act in this particular situation in a way to completely satisfy Lord Krishna and all the other people there, including his wife and his brothers. So therefore, he had this perfect desire, he had that devotion, and by that, he got the perfect intelligence to do that. And I just wanted to make a very nice thought that I learned from Shivaram Swami's, one of Shivaram Swami's book, which is entitled Sadhavo Hridayam Mayam, The Sadhus Are My Heart. This book is about the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Ambarish Maharaj meets Durvasa Muni. I don't want to say the whole story because I'm sure that you know it very well, that Durvasa make a great offense against Ambarish. Maharaj wants to kill him because of some insignificant so-called offense that Ambarish Maharaj drank some water. Jainita Prabhu also quoted that. And, you know, then he creates a demon to kill Ambarish, and then the Sudarshan Chakra starts to chase after Durvasa, and Durvasa finally goes to Vaikuntha in this universe and meets Lord Vishnu and takes shelter at him. And Lord Vishnu, he says, I'm very sorry, Durvasa, maybe I would help you to save your life from the Sudarshan Chakra, but unfortunately, I'm not able to do that. And they start to speak. Durvasa starts to inquire from Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu teaches him. So this is the whole Sadhava Hridayam Mayam book about, based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, to this story. And then this conversation is going on, you know, Durvasa asks, Lord Vishnu teaches, and there is a nice, very nice conversation between them. And on one point, Durvasa starts to understand, okay, I made a big mistake, I was wrong, he feels some remorse, but still he has some pride in his heart, and he says, okay, so I'm okay, I made a big mistake, but, he also has a but. I want to understand in a proper way, the religious, you know, laws in this situation. I came as a guest to Ambarish Maharaj's home, and I had to be fed. And Ambarish Maharaj had the contradictory situation. He had to feed the guest first, and also he has to break the Ekadashi. So he did, he broke the Ekadashi with some water. And then Durvasa says, ask Lord Vishnu, who was right? Ambarish Maharaj was right because he thought that to breaking the Ekadashi is superior than to welcoming a guest. Or I was right because I thought that I'm a guest and I have to be properly welcomed first and after that breaking the Ekadashi. What is the right? Which is the superior religious principle? Same situation than here. Which is superior? Krishna said kill. You know, Draupadi said no. What is the superior? And Lord Vishnu says something astonishing. And Durvasa is also shocked by that. Lord Vishnu says, first he becomes very angry because of this stupid question. And after that he says, you know, Durvasa, you're asking me this question about the religious principles. I will be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. You better to go to Ambarish and ask him. Because Ambarish is a pure devotee of mine, and he is the one who practices the religious principles perfectly, because, you know, Mahajano Yenagata Sapanta, because it's hidden in his heart, all the religious principles. And Lord Vishnu says something very amazing. I am the Vishaya, I am the subject of the love of the devotees, and I am the goal of the religious principles, but I'm not practicing them so much, you know, because I am the goal of them. My devotees are the ashraya, they are the shelter of love, they are the practitioners of the religious principles. They know the religious principles better than me. So ask them, why do you ask me? So I think it's a very, very deep thing that the devotees know better than God. Because they have the devotion, and because they have this perfect desire to serve God in a perfect way and satisfy Him, and Krishna is in their hearts revealing that, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto, and Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam, they Himself gave the perfect intelligence to them. Once I had a conversation with my spiritual master, and I had some very good ideas, what service to do, what things to do. And I was explaining, Guru Maharaj, I want to do this and that. And Maharaj was watching, yes. And finally he told, okay, Mohan, I just have one question to you. So Krishna is in my heart, and he says me what he wants you to do. And Krishna happens to be in your heart as well, the same Krishna. Why don't you hear what he says? Why do you ask it? So for me, it's clear what Krishna wants. Krishna is in your heart. Why don't you hear what he says? And he explained what have been done. And after that, you know, I thought, yes, Guru Maharaj, because you told me that these instructions, I will follow this instruction. And he told, yes, because I told you and you will follow. Therefore, you're a third class disciple. Because the first class disciple do more than the spiritual master wants. The second class disciple, second level to be a disciple is that he knows what the guru wants and he does it. And the third class is has to be told. So you are a third. But he was very kind, encouraged me, but I learned this. So here Arjuna, he was the topmost class of disciple because he did more than Krishna wanted. Krishna told, kill him. And what did he do? He killed him because he cut the hair off and cut the jewels off and exiled him. So he did that, but he also gave the opportunity because he also didn't kill, means he did the perfect synthesis. And also Krishna had the desire to punish Ashwatthama because he was very angry of Ashwatthama. And after that, as we know from the scriptures, Ashwatthama, he wasn't able to die he had to suffer for a long time because of some disease, because of some worms, because of the shame that he had. So he got better punishment than just to be killed. To be killed by Arjuna's hand is just 1 second. But after that, because Krishna wanted to give some bigger punishment than that, he didn't say that, Arjuna knew, okay, Krishna wants to give some better punishment, better to not to kill, just to exile him. And after that, even more than that, after so many years of exile, Ashwatthama happened to be get free, get rid of his sins, get purified. And I found in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto, 13th chapter, 15th verse, is that it's written here, O King, during the 8th Manvantara, the great personalities, Gava, Diptaman, Parashuram, Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, Rishashringa, and our father Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Narayana, will be the seven sages, the Saptarishis. For the present, they are residing in their respective ashramas. So the Bhagavatam says that after that, Ashwatthama will be in the 8th Manvantara, he will be one of the Saptarishis. He will be a great sage. By the punishment of Arjuna, he wasn't killed. He was punished, he was suffered, he got rid of his bad activities, he got purified by this punishment, and he became a great sage. So Arjuna did a very good job by not following Krishna's direct order, but following his hidden truth of the scriptures. So I just want to... And it was because of his bhakti, not because of the philosophical arguments. It was because of his... desire to satisfy Krishna. And I have just a few minutes left to speak about the other topic, which is about the culture. Because here in this purport and the verse, we saw a very nice example of the Vedic culture. Because when the Pandavas and all the relatives, you know, they were very sad about losing their relatives, because they died in the battlefield and because they were killed by Ashwatthama. So they came together and they did this nice ceremony, offering Ganges water to deliver the souls of the departed souls. They went around in a procession with the ladies the first. Also in the Western culture, they follow ladies first. So in this procession also, ladies went first. So they followed, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this is part of Vedic culture, to follow these ritual activities. And even the Pandavas did so 5,000 years ago. And Lord Krishna was also there, and he also followed. He went around, he offered the Ganges, he did everything. So just one thought in connection with that, it's a huge topic. But I just wanted to make the point how much the Vedic culture is elevated, how much is beautiful, and how much is important for us to study it and to follow it according our capacities. So no, I came from the land of the Hunas. I'm a tribal. I'm a tribal person and came from that culture. Even when Gandhiji came to the UK, he was asked by a reporter, what do you think about the British culture? He told, it would be a good thing. It would be. So it means that we came from a very, to be honest, amongst devotees, we can say that. We Westerners came from a quite low culture. Our cultural background is the background of low-class people. And now we got the fortune to be in association of devotees. We got this opportunity from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to get to know about this beautiful culture of the Vedic civilization. Because this culture, it's not Indian. Nothing to do with that part of the world. This is the culture of Krishna's. This is Krishna's culture. Because in the spiritual world, they follow this culture. And so every culture has its value system, has their rituals, has their way to live. But this culture, this Vedic culture given by Krishna and written in the Shastra and followed by the Mahajanas, You know, Yenagata Sapanta, we have to follow the footprints. They lived according the value system of Krishna, and they did, in the Vedic culture, they do everything in a way as Krishna likes it. They dress in a way that Krishna likes, they eat in a way, they dance in a way, and they deal with each other in that way that Krishna wants. And you know, Krishna always says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is my opinion. So the Vedic culture is Krishna's opinion. The Vedic lifestyle is Krishna's lifestyle. And as devotees, it's important to us to try to learn that. I speak to myself because, you know, when I come to the UK, I see so many devotees who are from the Indian, from the Vedic background, and they know this culture much more than me. So therefore, it's a very great, privilege for me to be here amongst you. And also in my Hungarian yatra, because of the great devotees, great followers of Srila Prabhupada, they also teach us this beautiful culture, so I'm not lacking anything there. Thanks Krishna. So this is a very great opportunity to us to study this culture of the great Mahajanas. And there is the verse in the second chapter that Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abirashumba Yavanaka Shadaya Yene Cha Papaya Dapasha Yashaya Shuthanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namaha. That even those low class tribal people like the Hunas, they can be Shuthanti, they can be purified by the association of the devotees of Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu is the supreme power. So I just wanted to end my lecture with these thoughts, and I just want to offer my respect to all the devotees who were kindly and patiently listened to my words. And if you have any corrections and maybe questions,